By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine, and the sun will rise and shine.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyid al-Anbiya'i wal-Mursaleen. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله My dear viewers of Madani Channel, Alhamdulillah, عز وجل This beautiful morning, so would be that beautiful. Each and every single morning, we should thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for everything He has bestowed upon us. For all of the blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed upon us, we must be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We must give thanks to Allah. And how do we give thanks to Allah? One is simply saying, Alhamdulillah, glorifying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, performing the tasbih, saying subhanallah, saying alhamdulillah, saying la ilaha illallah, saying Allahu Akbar, doing the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as well as this, my dear viewers, acting upon the commandments given to us, the commandments of the Quran and the sunnahs of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to follow in the footsteps, the pathway of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alayhi wa sallam, as well as the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alayhi wa sallam. My dear viewers, we should feel this every single day. We should try to feel relaxed every single day, my dear viewers. How can we attain this? If we're so busy working, then we can't attain it, can we? Sometimes we have to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes we have to perform our ablution and prostrate in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then that will bring you that ease, inshallah wa azzawajal. Just performing ablution itself, you would enjoy that. That itself will bring you ease. And then prostrating before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, reciting the glorious Quran, any types of worships, alhamdulillah, the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sending salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This all does bring us, alhamdulillah, peace and serenity in our inner selves, inshallah ta'ala. My dear viewers of Madani Channel, every single day we begin by listening to the beautiful verses of the glorious Quran. We are on chapter number 12. Many of you would have guessed is Surah Yusuf. We've been listening to the story of Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam in the glorious Quran. Story of Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, beautiful. Beautiful, my dear viewers of Madani Channel, alhamdulillah, beautiful, phenomenal, mashallah, and we heard Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, he had a dream when he was young. He was cast into a well by his own brothers. He was sold as a slave. He was in, somebody attempted to seduce him. He was imprisoned, my dear viewers of Madani Channel. But then, and subhanallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no doubt, is the best of planners. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives him a place, a rank, you know, amongst many others in the whole of Egypt. And now, Egypt was huge, but it's not like it was bigger and then now it's gone smaller. What I mean is, on an international scale and level, the importance of that country is hugely significant. And if you look back at history, we see this. Everybody's, you know, rushing towards Egypt or even trying to conquer Egypt, whatever it may be. So Egypt held a great importance. Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam was, you could say, the king's prime advisor of Egypt. You know, the king would be dependent upon Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam, would respect Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam. And Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam, his brothers who had cast him into a well, they've come back. He aids, he helps them, etc. We've heard the story. I can't be going over every single day, my dear viewers, but just roughly. And then his younger brother also comes. He keeps his younger brother. And, you know, there's a plan. There's a plan which is made. So his younger brother is, you know, a cup, a royal cup is placed in his luggage. And then he is accused of having stolen that. So in this way, in this manner, and he agreed to it. In this manner, Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam was able to keep his younger brother with him. And the rest of the brothers were told to return, go back home. Return to their father, Hazrat Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam. And Hazrat Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam, after having lost one child, now another child, now another son of his, Allahu Akbar, was very difficult for him. He missed Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam so much so that his eyes became white, meaning he lost his sight. His sight had declined. He lost his sight, Malibus. So people say, you're not going to forget, even now you talk about Hazrat Yusuf? You're not going to forget about Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam? But many viewers, this was the Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have been given ilm al-ghayb, the knowledge of the unseen. The Prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala know those things which we do not. Let's hear, inshallah, what happens next. Let's go to the tilawat of the glorious Quran, Surah Yusuf. Remember that whilst the Quran is being recited, then we should give our full attention to the recitation, and as well as this, make good intentions, because the more good intentions you make, the more reward you shall gain, inshallah. Let's listen to the tilawat. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim.
Main Allah ta'ala ki panah mein aata hoon shaitan-e-mardood se.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
Allah ke naam se shuru جو نہایت مہربان رحم والا.
قال هل علمتم ما فعلتم بيوسف واخيه اذ انتم جاهلون.
بولے کچھ خبر ہے تم نے یوسف اور اس کے بھائی کے ساتھ کیا کیا تھا جب تم نادان تھے.
قالوا انك لانت یوسف. قال انا يوسف وهذا اخي قد من الله علينا انه من يتق ويصبر فان الله لا يضيع اجر المحسنين.
بولے کیا سچ مچ آپ ہی یوسف ہیں؟ کہا میں یوسف ہوں اور یہ میرا بھائی. بے شک اللہ نے ہم پر احسان کیا, بے شک جو پرہیزگاری اور صبر کرے تو اللہ نیکوں کا نیک یعنی اجر ضائع نہیں کرتا.
قالوا تاللہ لقد آثرک اللہ علینا وإن کنا لخاطئین.
بولے خدا کی قسم بے شک اللہ نے آپ کو ہم پر فضیلت دی اور بے شک ہم خطا وار تھے.
قال لا تثريب عليكم اليوم يغفر الله لكم وهو ارحم الراحمين.
کہا آج تم پر کچھ ملامت نہیں, اللہ تمہیں معاف کرے اور وہ سب مہربانوں سے بڑھ کر مہربان ہے.
اذهبوا بقميصي هذا فألقوه على وجه أبي يأتي بصيرا وأتوني بأهلكم أجمعين.
میرا یہ کرتا لے جاؤ, اسے میرے باپ کے منہ پر ڈالو, ان کی آنکھیں کھل جائیں گی, اور اپنے سب گھر بھر یعنی گھر والوں کو میرے پاس لے آؤ.
ولما فصلت العير قال ابوهم اني لاجد ريح يوسف لولا ان تفندون.
جب قافلہ مصر سے جدا ہوا, یہاں ان کے باپ نے کہا بے شک میں یوسف کی خوشبو پاتا ہوں اگر مجھے یہ نہ کہو کہ سٹھ یعنی بہک گیا.
قالوا تاللہ انك لفی ضلالک القدیم.
بیٹے بولے خدا کی قسم آپ اپنی اسی پرانی خود رفتگی یعنی محبت میں ہیں.
فلما ان جاء البشیر القاه علی وجهه فارتد بصيرا قال ألم أقل لكم إني أعلم من الله ما لا تعلمون.
پھر جب خوشی سنانے والا آیا اس نے وہ کرتا یعقوب کے منہ پر ڈالا, اسی وقت اس کی آنکھیں پھر آئیں روشن ہو گئیں. کہا میں نہ کہتا تھا کہ مجھے اللہ کی وہ شانیں معلوم ہیں جو تم نہیں جانتے.
قالوا یا ابانا استغفر لنا ذنوبنا انا کنا خاطئین.
بولے اے ہمارے باپ ہمارے گناہوں کی معافی مانگیے بے شک ہم خطا وار ہیں.
قال سوف استغفر لكم ربی انہ هو الغفور الرحیم.
کہا جلد میں تمہاری بخشش اپنے رب سے چاہوں گا بے شک وہی بخشنے والا مہربان ہے.
صدق اللہ العظیم.
صلوا علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ تعالی علیہ وعلی آلہ وسلم. اللہ اکبر, سبحان اللہ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that they plot and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala plans. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the best, the greatest of planners. And subhanAllah, my dear viewers of Madani Channel, we see this unfold really in the story, in the life of Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. It's absolutely phenomenal. Absolutely beautiful, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. The best of stories, isn't it? The greatest of stories of the glorious Quran, the life of Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. And no doubt Hazrat Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam, he knew. How do we know that he knew? Because why would he continue to mention Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam? Why would they send them to go and search for Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam? Who said anything about Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam? They said, you know, your other child now too, you know, he's being kept in Egypt. Then they didn't say anything about Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. Hazrat Yaqub says that they'll all be returned to me. He says, go search for Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. Allahu Akbar. Why? Because the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a'lamu. He also says, and minallah ma la ta'lamun. Hazrat Yaqub alayhi salam later tells them, we'll get to that in fact. Firstly, my dear viewers, so they return to Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam once more. Again, they do not recognize that this is their younger brother. But then he tells them, no, I am Yusuf. I am your brother Yusuf. Your younger brother Yusuf. And then they feel ashamed. They ask for forgiveness. And what does Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam state? La tathrib. That today, on this day, al-yawm, that on this day, you shall not be blamed. La tathriba alaykum al-yawm. That on this day, you shall not be blamed. On this day, you know, forgiveness. This is Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam. As a child, an innocent child, well, prophets are masoom anyway. But you know, maybe they didn't know he's a prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they wouldn't have known he's a prophet of Allah ta'ala. They just know that he's beloved to their father. Now, even let's just say, not considering, okay, he's a prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even if he was to be a normal, any person, come on, a child. Kill a child? To cast a child and leave, not even just kill, just leave them to die? This is what they did. They left him. He was sold as a slave. He was sold as a slave. Honestly, there's a beautiful lesson to take from this. And one is forgiveness. Sometimes we think, oh, my brother, this is what he did to me. He stole my money. He's not giving me my money. He did this to me. He did that to me. The brothers of Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam had thrown him into a well, left him there, not bothered what shall happen to him. They didn't even go back to check if he's still there or not. They just left him. He was sold as a slave. He was a slave as a child. But yet, he's able to say that, today I'm not blaming you. Today you are forgiven. From my side, you are forgiven. This, my dear viewers of Allah, inshallah, is true forgiveness. And this is forgiveness for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remember, when you always, you know, if it's, yes, you say, oh, you know, okay, I'm going to try forgiving somebody. If it's for this world, then it's no use. And it's not true forgiveness. When it's for the sake of Allah ta'ala, then it doesn't matter about what the money is. It doesn't matter how much money is or whatever it may be. We know that money comes and goes. And everybody says it. And this is one of the things. Everyone says, oh, it's money, it's okay. Money comes and goes. But then when it comes to it, in reality, you know, it doesn't come and go. They just want to keep it with them. No, my dear viewers, for those that may have severed some sort of ties, family ties, whatever it may be, it is, we should, on our part, they're in the wrong. And this is what everybody says, you know, they're in the wrong. And they'll say the same. It's reciprocal, isn't it? But we should try to take that step. We, ourselves, it is our duty to try to mend those ties, inshallah ta'ala. As with the Yusuf, alayhi salatu wasalam, he does not blame them. He forgives them. He forgives them, and he views them on the channel. And then Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, he gives him his qamis. And this itself is beautiful too, subhanAllah. Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam gives his qamis. His, you could call it a shirt. No doubt the shirt of that day and age is not the, you know, exact equivalent to the shirt which we would have now. Or, you know, like a qamis, as we say. For example, in Pakistan, the qamis is very long. So in other places, it could also be long. So it's qamis. Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam, he gives his qamis to his brothers. And he says to his brothers, that, go give this to our father. Our father has lost his sight. Go give this to our father. Place it on his eyes. And then he shall be cured. And subhanAllah, something beautiful from here, but let's wait a minute. And then they leave Egypt. And in the Quran, when it says that they're leaving, that when they leave, this they are in Egypt. On the other side in Palestine. Hazrat Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam says, now he had many grandchildren, remember, there were many people around him. His family was huge. It was only the elder brothers, and they would have been very old by now. You know, with possibly their own grandkids, Allahu A'lam. So there were many children who would come to Hazrat Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam. There was also the women of the family. Hazrat Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam says, now some of you may, you know, have doubt, but I smell the fragrance of Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. Say, but you would doubt me. But this is what I'm telling you. Like, and they say, oh, you're an old man now. Now you're very, very old. You know, you've really lost your sight and you're still thinking about Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. Maybe your mind's playing tricks on you. Allahu Akbar. And they have this doubt. They're not completely certain. They think, you know, look how many years it's been, and now suddenly you smell Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam's, his fragrance. And Hazrat Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam, this great prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, the people may doubt him. But subhanAllah. This is beautiful. How is he able to smell it when it's so far? And this is what we learn, that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves somebody, those who are beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those individuals, many views of Madani channel, who are the, for example, the prophets of Allah, the greatest, they're the greatest, aren't they? They possess the greatest of ranks and level. The prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then their senses are not like ours. Their abilities are not just like ours, no. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses them and grants them such an ability which is outstanding, which we can never even truly imagine as to their real capabilities. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants it to them. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted us the ability to smell something within this room, He can grant them the ability to smell something which is in another country, as they wish. And Hazrat Yaqub alayhi salam knew this. And then when they come, he said, look, didn't I tell you? I know that which you do not know. But he also mentions minallah. There's something we learn from this, my dear viewers. That yes, we say that the prophets, alayhi salatu wasalam, they have knowledge of the unseen. They have ilm al-ghayb. And we also believe that this is not of their own. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted this to them. This ability to have knowledge of those things which are the unseen. And Hazrat Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam, this great prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he places this qamis onto his blessed eyes. And his eyes are cured. Now, subhanAllah, many questions. Another is the qamis. Which qamis was this? Who was it attributed towards? Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam had this qamis. This qamis was attributed towards Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam. This is no ordinary qamis. And the qamis of a prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or that anything which belongs to a prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether it be the qamis, whether it be even the na'alain pack, the na'alain of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or the na'alain of any prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those who are beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then by means of them, we can gain tabarruk. By means of them, we can, you know, people, and it's mentioned so many, and this is in the Quran, you know, how can we doubt this? This is an example from the Quran al-Kareem, that by means of this, he gained shifa. His eyesight was restored. And this was the Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. SubhanAllah, but even so many lessons, honestly, to be learning from this, the lesson of forgiveness, you know, the knowledge of the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, seeking aid from tabarrukat, from those things which are affiliated with the true servants, true beloved people of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We can also gain means of health, aid, cure, inshallah, azza wa jal. We've been speaking very much about this, the tilawat of the glorious Quran. We have listened to Surah Yusuf, my dear viewers. We are now going to move to the Naat Sharif. My dear viewers, let's, inshallah, azza wa jal, go to the Naat Sharif. Let's listen to the praise of the greatest of all mankind, the peace of our hearts and our minds, the most generous and kind, the last and final prophet and messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rasulullah Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
It is narrated from Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala an that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Whosoever recites salat upon me once, Allah Almighty bestows 10 mercies upon him."
Sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu ala Muhammad.
Aankhon ka tara naam-e Muhammad, dil ka ujala naam-e Muhammad. Aankhon ka tara naam-e Muhammad, dil ka ujala naam-e Muhammad.
Sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu ala Muhammad.
The most beloved to me is the name of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Light of my dark heart is the name of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Poochega maula laya hai kya kya, poochega maula laya hai kya kya, main ye kahunga naam-e Muhammad, dil ka ujala naam-e Muhammad.
Sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu ala Muhammad.
When Allah will ask, "What have you brought?" I will then say, "The name of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam."
Daulat jo chaho dono jahan ki, daulat jo chaho dono jahan ki, kar lo wazifa naam-e Muhammad, dil ka ujala naam-e Muhammad.
Sallallahu ala Muhammad, صلى الله على محمد.
If you desire the wealth of both worlds, keep mentioning the name of Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم.
رکھو لحد میں جس دم عزیزو رکھو لحد میں جس دم عزیزو مجھ کو سنانا نام محمد دل کا اجالا نام محمد
صلی اللہ علی محمد صلی اللہ
O my dear ones, when you lay me to rest in my grave, do remember to mention the name of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
اپنے رضا کے قربان جاؤں مرشد پیا کے قربان جاؤں جس نے سکھایا نام محمد دل کا اجالا نام محمد
صلی اللہ علی محمد صلی اللہ
May I sacrifice my life for Raza, who taught the name of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. My dear viewers of Madari channel, mashallah, that was the Na'ad Sharif. Ankun ka ta'ara nami Muhammad. The Allahu Akbar, the star of our eyes. His name is, and he has the most beautiful of names. The name is Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam. My dear viewers of Madani channel, we are going to go to our topic. What is today's topic? Now, my dear viewers, today is a question on objective, it's a question on success. It's a question on what have we actually done, you know, results. What have we actually attained? And this is a question which we should be asking ourselves. We should be asking ourselves, you know, regularly. What have we attained? And it's, you know, from the beginning, from the very beginning, primary school reception. Well, first it comes the nursery, I was supposed to say, not primary school. You don't get primary school before a reception, do you? So we have, in the United Kingdom, this is how it works. We have nursery, we'll have reception, and then we'll have primary school. You'll have year one, year two, year three, year four, five, and six. Now, nursery, the babies, well, what happens in nursery? Nursery, they're just playing all day, aren't they? They may just learn a few things here and there. But that's about it, really. Reception is when they actually start to do something. But there's much playing involved too. And then the education begins from a very young age. And this is in the UK and many other places, they begin later. Not so early, not very early. But for example, in the UK, but wherever it is around the world, whatever institution you are part of, whether, as we said, primary school, secondary school, sixth form, college, university, wherever you go, there is always something that they have. And what is this? This is some sort of timetable. This is some sort of schedule. A schedule is really important because we have time and we need to organize that time. We have many things to do. We need to prioritize those things. And ultimately, you know, the purpose of all these is to have a goal in mind. And the goal is this semester maybe, or for this particular module, these are the things you are expecting to have learned or developed. You know, it may be some particular skills, or it may be, you know, a section of whatever, whether it be maths or it could be anything. It could be a section of a subject, you know, you should have a good understanding of. But whatever there is always an objective. Why? Because it's you know, some people would say it's common sense. We need to have an objective. a person who has no objective, then they don't really achieve much, do they? So it's of huge importance to have some sort of objective. Why? So that when this duration has now passed, when this time has gone, that time has not been wasted. Well, hopefully, that time has not been wasted. We can attain or achieve something. So this is what we say that now, I mean, they begin from high school. This begins from high school. In primary school, not really. You know, they'll ask, what do you want to be when you're older? Everybody will say, I want to be a doctor, or I want to be a policeman, or I wish to, you know, work for the ambulance. I wish to paramedic, you know, it could be anything. I wish to become a brain surgeon, or I wish to, you know, fly to the planet Mars. An astronaut I wish to become. So many people have these different things in mind as a child, but what happens is that those children, and you know, it could be just the very next day, think, oh, no, I don't want to be an astronaut no more. Now I wish to be a doctor. But the children, aren't they? They can't make their mind. They can't, you know, keep their mind onto one thing and think we're going to be working towards this for the rest of our life. No. You know, if they see something fascinating, something they are excited by, then they'll change their mind. That's what children do. But then when you come to high school, that's when we take advice. That's when, you know, we may even have a body formed within our schools or education centers where they would advise us, what are you intending to pursue? Further studies, further education. Where is it you wish to go in? And then based on that, you will choose the subjects you will study for BA levels, let's just say. And then even that, you know, you try to keep your options open. And then you're going to go into something even more specific when you go towards university. So there's always one thing leading to another. There's always a goal in mind. And this is so that, you know, by the time I'm, let's just say, 20, 21, maybe, you know, depending on the course, amount of years our university is, maybe a few extra years, then we can attain, we can achieve that goal. So there's always a goal in mind. And a person who hasn't really achieved something, they are not really considered successful people. And I would like to mention one thing, my dear viewers. Success is not dependent upon going through the school system. Because many times we find that most of those people who have become hugely and extremely successful are those who possibly dropped out from college. Yes, you can even, you know, search this up. You know, most of those people are very famous or considered successful. Those who have become possibly, because ultimately we do these jobs, why do people go for such a job? Most of the time, sometimes yes, it's recreational. But most of the time, my dear viewers, it's due to the money, because this job has a high pay. This job has a lower pay. So this job is more of a respectable job. I'd rather be this. Many times it's for the money, isn't it? So we find that some people, they leave the education system and they'll just open up a business and become much more successful than doctors and so many others. So we must understand that school is not a precondition for worldly. And these are all examples of worldly success. These are all examples of worldly success. Now the question for us is, what have we attained or what have we achieved? What are our guidelines? What is our measuring stick? How do we determine somebody is successful or not successful? This is the question, and this is what's very, very important to address. Because sadly, our mindset is what? We think that if somebody is successful in the world, then that person is truly successful. If that person is a doctor, then that person is truly successful. If that person is a dentist, only then, or if they have lots of money, or if they have such and such cars or house, only then are they successful. But that's the question. Really, it brings us to the question. Is that true success? Is that true success? Why is it that people attribute success to money? Because the ultimate goal is actually happiness. I think everybody would agree to this. That if somebody was to be a doctor, if somebody was to be a millionaire, a billionaire, whatever it may be, if somebody has all the money in the world, But if that person is not able to sleep at night, if that person is, you know, maybe even suicidal, if that person is tired of life, he hates things, he is sad, he is depressed, then would you still consider that to be success? No. Why? Because we consider money to be the equivalent or to equal what? Happiness. So this is why we consider a person with money to be successful. Because we think that if you have money, you are happy. This is the reason, isn't it? If you have money, you are happy. If you don't have money, you're not happy or you're less happy. So the person, so in actual fact, what you are saying is that the person who is happy, they are successful. This is what it is, isn't it? The person who is truly happy with what they have, they are successful. And we bring what? Money in the category of what? Happiness. But this is where we have the problem. That we consider money to be the cause for the attainment of happiness. This is correct in some ways and it's incorrect in other ways. Firstly, we need to understand what we mean by happiness. We need to understand what we mean by happiness. Because there's one thing known as happiness, there's another which is satisfaction. There is another which is contentment. Happiness and satisfaction, happiness and contentment, these are not the same things. These are two different things. We get many people who are happy. I've bought a new car, I'm very happy. I've just received something, somebody praised me, I'm very happy. You know, something happened, I'm very happy. But happy is, how long does it last? You'll be happy for a few moments, maybe even for a full day. Let's just say for a week, you're very happy. You know, I've been over the moon the entire week, always smiling, until something else happens. And now I've suddenly become sad. Happiness, my dear viewers, on the channel, this is what happiness is, it's transitory. Happiness does not last very long. And happiness, my dear viewers of Madani channel, is not the sole goal, no. What's better, and this is if you're considering worldly things, then what's better is satisfaction. Now, do we attain satisfaction with money? This is the question. Many of us would have heard that you can have a house, but not a home. Many people are not, they don't feel comfortable within the old, what house is, the house is absolutely huge, but it doesn't feel like a home. You can have a bed and not sleep. You know, you can buy the biggest and most luxurious and comfortable beds. So it comes down to what? It's not all about money. It's satisfaction, long-term inner happiness. Satisfaction, when a person is truly satisfied with what they have. And what's so beautiful about this is that you don't need a big home to be satisfied. You can have a very small home, but you could still be satisfied. You can have a very small house and that really feels like home. It can be a single bed, a small bed, but you get the best of sleep in that bed. You know, it could be food. People can, you know, some people, this is what they do. Some people are so rich, they can order, you know, food from another country. They'll order their own chefs and everything. It doesn't necessarily mean that they can have an appetite. This is correct, isn't it? So there's people who can buy the best of foods. You can't buy an appetite, can you? No. Otherwise, you can have simple food, but you can't have the appetite to eat. This is what satisfaction is. So when we ask ourselves, what have we attained? What have we achieved? And what is our perspective, our understanding of success? These are the questions we must be asking. That first, do we understand what success is? What do we wish for? We wish for happiness, to be happy, to be comfortable. But at what expense? And my dear viewers on the channel, all this I've been speaking about is what? The things we consider in this world. But how can you gain true satisfaction? How can you gain true contentment? This, my dear viewers of Madani channel, is why we need to turn to the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to turn to the sunnahs, the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to turn to the Quran al-Kareem, to open the Quran, and we could just read a book, not even understand the book, but yet we will feel inner peace and happiness and serenity. We will feel that comfort and all those worries which we may have had, you know, it's as if they've all left us. Why? Because we have opened the glorious Quran and we are reading the Quran. We are listening to the Quran. We've prostrated before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and whilst I'm there, now it's as if forget everything in the world. I enjoy being in this place. And it's the lowest of places. But yet in reality it's the highest. Because sometimes you have to lower yourself. Lower yourself for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then you don't wish to worry. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shall raise you, inshallah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My dear viewers of the channel, we are going to move to our daily reminder. Before we do continue, please do stick with us. Let's move to the daily reminder. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
The companion of the Prophet Sayyidina Jabir radiallahu ta'ala anhu has narrated that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam has said, undoubtedly amongst you the most beloved and closest to me on the day of judgment will be those who are the most well-mannered, and amongst you the most disliked and the farthest from me on the day of judgment will be those who are ill-mannered, who talk too much, are rude, and those who speak excessively with gaping mouths. Sayyidina Mufti Ahmad Yarkhan Naimi rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi has commented on this hadith and explained this. Because a well-mannered person often performs good deeds more, sins are rarely committed by him. Honesty, meaning faithfulness, being trustworthy, trustfulness, fulfilling promises, and having correct dealings are all included in good manners. And ill-mannered people often are sinners. Bad manners themselves are evil and a means of many evil actions. Lying, misappropriating, breach of promise, and deceptions are all dealings and branches of bad manners. Dear viewers of Madani Channel, safeguard yourself and others from being ill-mannered, for being ill-mannered will keep us away from the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the Day of Judgment. And being well-mannered, being truthful, being nice, doing good deeds will keep us close to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the Day of Judgment. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alaihi wa alihi wasallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam. My viewers, you are watching Rise and Shine, mashallah azza wa jal. Now, Allahu Akbar. My viewers of Madani Channel, we're speaking about what success and what have we achieved. Now, this is the question we need to ask ourselves. Firstly, yes, you know, there's a goal in mind, but what have we achieved? And some people say, yes, I'm a, you know, respectable person in society. You know, I'm a successful person. But now we need to think, am I truly successful? Because true success, my dear viewers on the channel, is always looking ahead, isn't it? So a person thinks a long-term, don't they? But why is it yet that we understand life is very short, and what's truly long is the akhirah? Preparation for what's long term. This is how people think. But just thinking about this world, just thinking about this life, is this long term? Not really, is it? The akhirah, that's long term. Have we truly prepared for the akhirah? So some people may think, yes, you know, I'm a doctor. Brilliant, you're a doctor. Some people may think, I'm a barrister. You know, again, brilliant, very good. No matter what you may be. But the question is, what have you done for your religion? What part have you played in deen, in the religion? This is the question we must ask, my dear viewers of Madinah Channel. If you're a doctor, brilliant, you know, if you have good intentions, you're curing people, etc., this is a means of reward too. But if you are a doctor, you're not praying your salah. If you are a doctor, you're not fasting during the month of Ramadan. If you are a doctor, you do not, you know, act as a Muslim does. You do not implement, you do not learn, know, you know, you're not all about the body. You know nothing about Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You do not hold and possess the correct creed. Then are you still successful? I wouldn't say so. So what have we achieved? But for the akhirah, this is what's important. What have we achieved? Do we pray our salah? And salah 5 times a day, yes. Do we pray our 5 days? So look, we're speaking about doctors. Now, so many people nowadays, they don't like to be doctors. And what's one of the reasons? One of the reasons because, you know, the job is quite hard and difficult. It's quite strenuous. It's something which, you know, there's no particular time. You all just have a simple shift. This is one of the main reasons. People think, you know, I'd rather become this or that. And, you know, you're getting just as much paid. You're getting the pay is, you know, possibly equal or even more in some other cases. But at least we have one specific shift where I won't have to be, you know, waking up in the middle of the night. So we can wake up in the middle of the night for our jobs. And so many people wake up in the middle of the night to watch, you know, whether it be fights or whatever it may be. Honestly, people wake up and they don't care what the time is. You know, normally you say, okay, Fajr Salah, let's just say it's 5 o'clock. Nowadays it's easy to pray Fajr Salah. But let's just say it's during the middle times, let's just say 5 o'clock. And if you're like, you know, we need to wake up for Fajr Salah. What time is Fajr? 5 o'clock. 5. I think that's going to be a bit difficult because, you know, and then I have to wake up about 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock for work. I'm going to sleep late. So I think, you know, Fajr is a bit difficult. I'll read the rest of the prayers. But then when the night comes for, you know, there's some sort of big fight or some big event which is taking place in a different country, and for this country it's in the middle of the night, then everybody's planning, you know, what time we get in or where are we going to meet. And they're ready to meet outside, not just in their houses. They're ready to meet up outside too, go to a place and watch something together. It's not difficult then, is it? My dear viewers, when you wish to do something truly, you actually wish you have the true intention to do it, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helps, aids and guides you. Then you can do it. It's about wanting it too. It's about making a firm intention. So remember, Fajr is not something which is impossible. There are many people, alhamdulillah, they wake up for their Fajr Salah. And yes, they'll wake up, you know, they'll take a nap later, they'll go to sleep later, and they'll wake up for work again. And those people would enjoy it even more. In fact, it's said, isn't it? Even scientifically, I can't remember where I read this. But it's better to sleep twice. It's better to sleep twice rather than one long-term sleep. A person feels more rejuvenated. A person feels much more relaxed and empowered and energized, you know, full of energy when you sleep twice. So rarely do we sleep during the day, but if you can, you know, go to sleep, wake up for Fajr Salah, and then go to sleep again, even your sleep will be better, inshallah ta'ala. But if you're the Shabbat, let's go to the daily hadith. Now, do not even listen to the hadith too. Don't just take it. I know it's called daily hadith too. So it's something on a daily basis. So when we hear something on a daily basis, we sort of devalue it. But this shouldn't be done. Because we need to understand that this hadith, don't like we hear about quotes. And we say, whenever we mention a quote, you say, wow, now this is what this person said. That's a brilliant quote. These are quotes of the greatest of all mankind, the most knowledgeable, the most wise, the greatest from all of creation, Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, the last and final prophet and messenger, the leader of the prophets and messengers, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is the quote of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So when listening to this, pay attention. Honestly, I think sometimes we've had episodes just on one quote or one hadith from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And really, you know, I remember stating this so many times, that if we were to sometimes just implement one hadith from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it could bring change. It could bring change for good, positive, to the entire world. just by sometimes being or acting upon. If everybody was to act upon one hadith sharif of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allahu Akbar, it does wonders many viewers. Alhamdulillahi azzajal. So let's listen to the hadith sharif. Try to give your full attention to the hadith sharif, inshallah azzajal, and then we shall continue. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sayyidina Abu Hurairah radiallahu anh states that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Man tamassaka bi sunnati 'inda fasadi ummati falahu ajru mi'ati shahidin." The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Whoever holds firmly onto my sunnah at the time of corruption in my ummah, then for him is the reward of 100 martyrs." This hadith is mentioned in Mishkatul Masabih. What is the sharh, the commentary? The ulama have said that fasadi ummati, the time of corruption in my ummah, refers to the time when the sunnah is abandoned or there is a lack of amal upon the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And as for the wordings, 100 martyrs, this indicates towards the fact that acting upon the sunnah at that time will be a great struggle, very difficult. But its reward will be immense. We know the reward of a martyr, subhanallah. Before his blood, the drop of blood falls on the floor, he sees his place in Jannah. There are so many ahadith in regards to the fadail of a shaheed. But why does it say 100 martyrs in this hadith? The ulama state that the reason why the Prophet ﷺ said, "Ajru mi'ati shaheedin," is because a shaheed, he goes through struggle, no doubt. Great difficulty and hardship, and then he tastes martyrdom. But it's only once. As for the one who acts upon the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ at that time, he will have to go through difficulty again and again. If he keeps the beard, for example, uses the miswak sharif, grows his hair long in accordance to the sunnah, then people will look at him and they will say things about him. They will discourage him. They will dishearten him. So again and again, he's having to face this hardship. They are disheartening him. They are making him feel down. So this is why he will gain the reward of 100 martyrs, because time and time again he has to struggle all his life until his last breath. He will hear people say wrong things about him. Oh, he is a religious person now. Oh, you're too young to keep a beard. Sometimes, ma'adullah, even the own relatives, parents, siblings are the ones to discourage. So this is why the reward of 100 martyrs has been promised for that person who acts upon the sunnah, who clings firmly to the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ at the time of fasad, corruption, when people have left the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. May Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq to cling on to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam. But if you're speaking about what success, achievement, and mashallah, we have a beautiful brother who has joined us today. This is our respected Abdul Hannan bhai from Birmingham. If you can hear me, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Abdul Hannan bhai, firstly, I hope you're well and in the best of health. Mashallah, I can see you're looking beautiful in the picture. May Allah Ta'ala bless you, Abdul Hannan bhai. I wish to ask Abdul Hannan bhai, success, achievement, what have we achieved? What would you say, you know, is a successful person?
MashaAllah, you were talking earlier about how people think what is achievement. You know, someone's achieved the wealth of the world. Someone's, you know, achieved a nice house, property, land, all these things. And the person thinks he's achieved, you know, he's achieved something. And on the other hand, Shabazz, but you've got something that it doesn't look like that you've achieved something. You're actually gone in, you're actually lost. But in actual fact, that is the means of achievement. And in related to this, yesterday in Dursta, you know, there were two fishermen. And these two fishermen went fishing. One was obviously a believer, a Muslim, and the other one was an unbeliever. And what was happening was the disbeliever was calling on his false gods, and he was eating all these fishes. So he, you know, all these fishes what he was catching. And at the end of the day, he had a bucket full of fishes. And on the other hand, the believer, he was held in the name of the Lord. And he couldn't catch any fish. And then there was one fish which he caught, even that jumped out. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he showed one of the angels the place for that believer in paradise. Now, when the angel saw this, he said, by Allah, after this, you know, the Muslim fisherman, when he enters this place, he will not care about the trouble he went through of not catching anyone. And when that angel was showed the place of the Muslim in hell, and he says, by Allah, after this, that a non-Muslim, when he reaches this place of torment, he will not benefit at all from all from that happiness which he achieved by catching all them fishes in the world. Allah. And you know, that actual true success is that it's a true achievement is that the achievement of the hereafter, the achievement of the plate in Jannah.
Mashallah.
Even that in the dunya.
That's a beautiful example. That's a beautiful example, mashallah. Because look, Abdul Hanaba, what some people think is, okay, but at least, you know, live life. So, this is what people say, you only live once. Let's, you know, have fun, let's enjoy it. But then they'll even be asked about this world when they've been in hell, just for a moment, when they've, you know, experienced the punishment of hell. They'll even be asked about the world. And they'll be like, I've never attained any goodness even in the world. Allahu Akbar. And then the person in general will be like, the entire world was good and easy too. Although it was difficult for them. SubhanAllah, this really shows that this world is out of nothing, is it? Abdul Hanan, but sorry, you were saying.
Definitely, Shabazz bhai. So, mashallah, you know, sometimes we think, oh, achieving everything in the dunya. Dunya, what you want to achieve for something which is only temporary? And the life hereafter, the life hereafter is internal. It doesn't end. You know, that's what we should be working for. And that's what we should be try to achieve the betterment, the maqam in Jannah, in paradise, in success in that life. But sadly, you know, it doesn't come into our mind that that is something which we need to be achieving. That is something we need to be gaining success in. We're just worried about this world because at the moment, this is the only thing in front of us. But when our eyes will close and the real eyes will open, we will realize that what is achievement is, what is success is, indeed is the hereafter.
When our eyes will close and our real eyes will open, we will realize. Subhanallah, beautifully put, mashallah. Beautifully put, Abdul Hanan bhai. And yes, it's so true, isn't it? That, but, you know, a person wants to be successful. And this is why people say, deen and dunya. But I think one thing you need to understand is what dunya is. Some people have defined dunya as that which takes it away from the deen. So it shouldn't be deen or dunya. It's the dunya, you could make it into your deen. So, for example, we mentioned, you know, for example, a doctor, if he's curing, if he's saving somebody's life, then with good intention, that's his deen too. This is what a deen teaches us, doesn't it? If there's, you know, helping somebody, curing somebody in any way, if it may be somebody else who's, let's just say an engineer, they're building something, then with good intentions, they could build something for the deen. They could gain reward too, even sometimes whilst doing your own job. But what's important is, and it's not very difficult, is it? Many jobs you can just continue doing. But also just pray your daily salah. Just give your zakat. It's only once a year. What do you think, Abdul Hanan? Is it difficult? Some people find prayer difficult because we have to pray five times a day. What would you say to that?
No doubt, Shabazz, but you know, they find it like a burden for them. Even the people who are praying, you see them rushing into the masjid and out. It should not be like this. And you know, there's the narration which talks about that a believer in the masjid is like the fish in the water.
Mm. And this believer is mentioned like a bird cage.
So, you know, and there was something which Haji Abdullah Bibai said a few days ago, my Rukne Shura, mashallah. He says that, you know, if you really want to achieve something in the world, achieve it in the right way, you know.
Achieve it
by, you know, like even our achievement for the dunya, we're doing all sorts of haram things and all sorts of wrong actions to achieve that. You know, even if you forget everything, even to achieve just the dunya, if you achieve it in the right and the halal way and your intention is clean, alhamdulillah, then that's an achievement. So yes, that's as well.
Yes, yes, so we do. We need to ask ourselves, what have I achieved? And if there's nothing in relation to the religion, this is what I would say. If there's, do you know me personally, Abdul Hanan, but the one thing I recommend others is just leave your mark. Just do one thing. No matter who you may be, and remember this is barrister too. Mashallah, is considered in the entire country, is considered quite a successful barrister, mashallah, by many people. And one thing I said to him, I said, look, whatever you are, mashallah, brilliant. But you need to ask yourself, what are you doing for the deen? What have you done? Do at least one thing. Just do one thing. Do something big. Do something important. Do one thing for your deen. Do one thing for your religion. And then inshallah, wa'azzal, brilliant. But this is what we almost do. We almost, no matter what, wherever, whatever state or stage we achieve or whatever we get to, whatever rank we attain, whatever job it may be. But what are we doing for our deen, for our religion? Have something in mind, something which is huge, something which is important, something which is great, something you have discussed with the scholar, and work towards that one thing, inshallah. And thus, if you're going to do this, and we have to have 1,000 other people going to do something too, and no doubt it will bring alhamdulillah azza wa jal us back to, you know, that level of greatness, inshallah ta'ala. What do you say, Abdul Hanan bhai? Your last words, inshallah, before we do leave.
Jee Shabazz bhai, you know, all I can say that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to achieve success in this dunya and also achieve the success in the akhirah.
Allahumma ameen. Inshallah, jazakallahu khairah for giving us your time. May Allah ta'ala bless you. Abdul Hanan bhai, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
Dear viewers, that was our respected Abdul Hanan bhai from Birmingham. MashaAllah azza wa jalla. Dear viewers, we are going to move to the fruit segment. And which fruit shall we be hearing about today? Let's have a look, inshallah. Sallu ala al-habib. Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah. By the grace of Allah.
Today's fruit, peaches. Peaches are small fruits with a fuzzy peel and a sweet white or yellow flesh. Peaches are related to plums, they're cousins, they're related. Apricots also, cherries and even almonds. They are considered drupes or stone fruits because their flesh surrounds a shell that houses an edible seed. They can be eaten on their own or even added to a variety of dishes. What's more, peaches are nutritious and may offer an array of health benefits, including improved digestion, smoother skin, and allergy relief. Just one fruit has up to 15% of the vitamin C you require each day. This nutrient helps your body heal wounds and keeps your immune system going strong. It also helps get rid of free radicals, those chemicals that have been linked to cancer because they can damage your cells. It improves your eyesight. It's good in keeping the digestion running smoothly. It said that one medium peach can give you as much as 9% of the fiber your body requires each day. High fiber foods can protect you from health problems like diabetes, heart disease, and several types of cancer. And getting enough fiber can also prevent constipation. It helps you remain at a healthy weight. Clocking in at fewer than 60 calories, peaches have no saturated fats, cholesterol, or sodium. And more than 85% of a peach is water, plus foods high in fiber are more filling. When you eat them, it takes you longer to feel hungry again. It contains vitamin E. It keeps your bones healthy also. It is good for your gut. It gives you something to smile about. Yes, peaches are also exciting, sweet, nice fruits.
My dear viewers, the fiber, potassium, vitamin C content in peaches all support our heart health. Let's make it a habit of ours to regularly eat peaches, add peaches to your 5 a day.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وسلم. My dear viewers of Madinah, you are watching Rise and Shine. Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jalla, Alhamdulillah. Every fruit of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, great blessing. But fruits, my dear viewers, you know, the things, the minerals we find within them, we find all sorts of vitamins, as some would say. We find it's replete with, honestly, goodness, blessings, Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jalla. And we should regularly eat fruit. And we should eat as much fruit as we can, inshallah ta'ala, as much as is possible, my dear viewers of Madinah, inshallah. Well, now, some people will be taking as much as is possible to eat. No, these levels say anything, isn't there, and everything. You know, you should have a recommended amounts of how much fruit to be eaten. One other thing, and something I like to mention, is I try to eat those fruits which are in season. Because remember, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the world. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created it in a manner, a perfect way, a perfect manner, my devils. It's completely free from any, you know, defects. So if for particular seasons, there are particular fruits which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants us, He has created in the system in this way, then no doubt there must be some sort of hidden benefit to it. So try to, rather than going for those which may be out of season, try to eat those fruits, etc., which are in season. My dear viewers of Madinah, inshallah, mashallah, recently we've been recording some segments about fruits, and this is of exotic fruits. Because we think that, you know, strawberries, grapes, watermelon, mashallah, as our brother mentioned, these fruits and, you know, many others, apples, etc., peaches, pears, whatever they may be. To us, it's like these are the only fruits. By the way, when I say us, again, I'm referring to the UK, because there would be some people who hardly eat these fruits and they eat many other ones. And yes, across the world, around the world, there are other, you know, exotic fruits, and they are normal for those people. And it was, subhanAllah, I was doing some research and I saw this one fruit. You know, there's so many, subhanAllah, but there's one fruit which is absolutely huge, my dear viewers. And then it had, I can like kind of say like spikes, literally. It was full of spikes. That you have to wear gloves. This is what's recommended. You have to wear gloves to handle it. And I don't just mean like, for example, there's the dragon fruit. So it has, you know, little, you know, sort of, they're not even really spikes or anything, but it does have a little sense of a spike to it. No, I don't mean like that. I mean like proper spikes, you know, shockingly. And this shows the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes we think, yes, we know it, we've seen it, and Allah, there's so much out there. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to, inshallah, eat those fruits too, inshallah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. My dear viewers of Madani channel, I'm going to just briefly mention, as Sayyidina Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, he passed by a town whose dwellers were what? Humans and jinns, beasts and birds, four-footed animals and insects. They were all dead. All of them were dead. He alayhi salam stood for a while and he looked at it with close attention. And then he says to his followers, he says that all of them have died of the torment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If it was not the torment, the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then they would not all have died altogether. So he says this must have been some sort of punishment. So then he calls out to these dead people. He's a prophet of Allah ta'ala, he can do this. So he calls out to these dead people and they reply, they say, Labbaik ya Ruh Allah. They say, Labbaik, we are here at your service. And he says, what is your sin? Why is it that you're all being killed, you're all dead? And he replied, because we used to worship Satan and love the world. He says, how did you worship Satan? He says, we used to follow the ones who were disobedient to Allah Ta'ala. So when we are following others, we attempt to attain success. You know, what to achieve what we consider to be success, what do? We follow others. Who do we follow? This is what we need to be asking. We should be following the ulama, the scholars, the awliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in goodness. And we should protect ourselves from those that disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because that is not true success. My dear viewers of Madan, inshallah, we shall be returning tomorrow. Please do donate generously. Allah ta'ala is the one who shall reward you. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the creator of the world. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one, my dear viewers of Madan, inshallah, who gives us whatever we have. So if you were to give some in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives more result, doesn't he? So give generously towards Dawat Islami. All of the works, inshallah, my dear viewers of Madan, inshallah, we shall be returning tomorrow for more Rise and Shana. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine, and the sun